Thank you. We are going to study the story of creation in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But before we turn to that, turn with me to 1 Peter 4, where Peter is writing on the end of the age and how Christians should act during this very end of this time, or this era, or this age. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And I want to read that because it is true, according to the prophets, that there will be a judgment on those people in the house of God first. They shall have to answer to God before the heathen do. Peter writes, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, guilty, and our worship and our obedience should be to the faithful Creator. Yes, God as the Creator is a God who is little preached today. In Jeremiah 7 and 5, we read just a verse which is in here in many different ways in the books of the prophets. I'll read just this one verse where God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he tells him to speak to the leaders of the nation, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Yes, God makes this very plain throughout all of the books of the prophet, that this is his earth by right of creation. And one thing about all of the other foolish nonsense that is preached as religion all over the rest of the world, our religion, our belief, our faith, or whatever you call it, proves very definitely that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the sole creator of the heavens and the earth. The other gods and idols of the heathen, the wood, stone, and evil spirits which they worship, have never created anything but fear, death, and confusion. There is only one true God, and he as God is the creator. We perhaps should also turn to the first chapter of Romans, since you and I happen to be living in a time when it appears that all the evil of the earth is being manifested. And if you read most of this, I'll just read a couple of verses here, but you'll see that men are turned to evil things and to wicked things and to corruption because they will not worship God. And God describes them in verse 25 of Romans 1 as people who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here again, not worshiping God as Creator is part of the reason for the damnation of the evil and the wicked. All right, turn with me back to Genesis 1. And we are going to read this all the way through, verse by verse. For in our study of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 at this time, I intend to prove that there are two, not one, but two very different creations recorded in these two chapters. Not because we are interested in proving the age of the earth or the age of the beasts and trees upon it, but because we need the light of God's word about our own origins to understand our destiny. We will see that Adam, as we know him in the Garden of Eden, was not the first of what is commonly called men. But that's the story of the forming of Adam and Eve in the second chapter of Genesis is a different and entirely different story of a different creation than that revealed in Genesis 1. Now, I am not going to give any arguments for or against the idea preached by some people that each day here is a literal day of 24 hours. For some others believe that each day is an eon or an age. That we are not interested in at this time, so we're going to skip any scientific or biblical arguments as to the time, except to prove that the creation of Genesis 2 of Adam happened after, sometime after, some perhaps unknown long period of time after the creation in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I'm going to repeat again, as we said before, it is obvious from the plain teaching of these two verses that the entire earth would have been covered with water. And that is important because after we finish this story of creation, we're going to get into a little time of study on the flood of Noah's time, because I believe, and it is very probable, that the scientists and the geologists and the archaeologists who have found evidences of a worldwide flood are finding the evidences of that flood that was in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, not during the flood of Noah's time. But let us go on. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And I think before we go on, we'll turn back again to 2 Peter, and quote Peter in these verses which are so often used to prove a worldwide flood at Noah's time. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, where Peter writes in verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But as we see from reading verse 4 and 5, that he was talking about the time of creation. For he says in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, Peter is actually paraphrasing or quoting Genesis 1, verses 6 through 9. So that we see that Peter is referring to creation, and he says, at that time, the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And we'll have more to say about that as we get near the end of chapter 1. Let us turn back to Genesis and read on. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Now I would say this in passing, that this gathering together of the dry land and the separation of the waters is not necessarily the creation as we would think of it coming into being at that moment, but possibly the making of new continents and the destruction of old in the water. In other words, old continents being submerged and new continents rising. This would answer the scientists and the archaeologists finding under our seas evidences of very, very ancient civilizations. And, of course, all of you have heard of Atlantis, and apparently the legend is so persistent that there is probably some truth in it. Some of you have heard of the continent of Mu and the people of Mu in the Pacific, evidence that there were people with a high culture, possibly 30, 50, 60, and 70,000 years ago, who were destroyed by the sinking of their continent or their large island in the Pacific. And here we see that this very thing here could possibly have been what we call creation. And of course, as God says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This could have been a time not only of construction, but of great destruction. Let us read on, verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the days from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, generally speaking, most people believe that these are references to the creation of the sun as the greater light, and the moon as the lesser light. This is not part of our argument one way or another. I am reading these verses primarily to reestablish in our mind the order of events, or the order of creation, as it were, of these things. Because when we get into Genesis 2, you will see that the order of creation is completely confused in relation to Genesis 1. When we get there, we'll explain why it is, and you understand these chapters of the creation, or the recreation, of the earth. You listen in again tomorrow, and we'll continue right on, verse by verse. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery saying, until tomorrow, goodbye, God bless you, and Christian America. Thank you. We are reading in Genesis 1, and if you are a regular listener, and have perhaps reminded some friend to listen to this story of creation, as we study Genesis 1 and 2, you take just a moment and call a friend and tell them to listen, because we'll just be reading in Genesis 1 right on verse by verse. I know from the letters that we receive that we have a number of people who listen regularly to either my radio broadcast or who receive these radio broadcasts on tape who have poor eyesight and have a hard time reading their Bible, and in some cases people who are blind and do want us to read every verse that we discuss. And I believe that it is good you people who have good eyesight should hear, as you read with me, these words of God on creation. So we'll read everything, every verse, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We finished yesterday at verse 19 at the end of the fourth day, and we'll start on verse 20, the beginning of the fifth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, before we finish the rest of chapter 1 of Genesis, I want to make just a few comments, which I will enlarge upon as we read the second chapter of Genesis. But you'll notice that in several places here, in verse 21 and also in verse 24, we see the words moving creature or living creature, and again in verse 24, living creature. Now, I'm going to tell you this today so you'll have time to check with your minister or look it up in Strong's Concordance or some Greek Hebrew lexicon or something, but the Hebrew words translated living creature in verse 21 of Genesis and living creature in verse 24 of Genesis are the same words which are translated in Genesis 2 verse 7, where it says that Adam became a living soul. In other words, the word soul in Genesis 2 in verse 7 is the same word which is translated creature in Genesis 1:21 and Genesis 1:24. So following that line of reasoning, we can see that it would have been as accurate to translate verse 21 in this manner. And God created great whales and every living soul that moveth. And verse 24, And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living soul after his kind, cattle and creeping things. And I mention that because in this Bible study, you will also have to understand, in order to understand creation, that Adam is a living soul, and also all alive creatures are living souls. And I believe that one of the great lessons that can come out of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the story of creation and the flood and so on, is at least some basic fundamental information which will help you understand that man does not have a living soul. Man is a living soul. Any person who is alive is called a soul in the Bible. Today, practically every fundamentalist, evangelist, modernist, liberal, and any person connected with religiosity tells you that your soul is something separate from your body. No, brother, sister, it is not. We will show that in greater detail as we go on in this story of creation. But I wanted to mention that today while these verses in Genesis 1 were fresh in your mind, that the words living creature in verse 21 and living creature in verse 24 are identical in the Hebrew to the words living soul in Genesis 2 and verse 7. All right, let's read right on. After God has made male and female after the likeness of God and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And this word replenish means to refill or to fill again, which would fit in very well with the theory or the idea or the probable truth that verses 1 and 2 of Genesis were not only construction, but were actually destruction of a previous world. And that is why Peter said, The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And he was talking about Genesis. All right, male and female. Many, possibly, we have no knowledge of how many numbers were created, and then they were given the command to replenish the earth and subdue it. Verse 29 of Genesis 1, And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit for a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the 6 days. So here we have the end of what are commonly known as the 6 days of creation. Now before we read of the seventh day and go on into chapter 2 of Genesis, I want to recap for you the order of creation as given in Genesis 1. And I'll repeat again, I am not going to argue the point which the scientists and the religionists do as to whether these are 24-hour days or whether they are eons of some unknown period of time. But it is true that science does agree that these things appeared upon the earth in this order. In other words, the earth appeared first, apparently covered by water, then there was a separation, then the grass and the trees grew, and later on, the creatures and so on. But let's read it here just as we read it in Genesis 1. In the first two verses, we see that the heaven and the earth were created, and that they were without form and void, and then the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and then God spoke. And you'll remember as you read this, that in each case, as each day's creation is recorded, it is recorded to have come into existence by the Word of God. The spoken Word of God created these things. But anyway, in the first day appeared light and day and night. In the second day, the waters were separated. In the third day, the dry land and the seas appeared, and grass, herbs, and trees. Apparently, no animal life up through this third day or third eon, whichever you would rather interpret it as. In the fourth day, the lights in the heaven, the great light for the day, and the lesser light for the night. In the fifth day, the moving creatures, and by the way, this word creatures in verse 20 is translated from a Hebrew word pronounced sherat, which means minute or small. In other words, very probably, it means that these tiny, tiny creatures of the sea appeared first and then followed the larger ones, which, of course, again would fit what science, geology, and archaeology have found. All right, the moving creatures, the sherets, or the smaller creatures, and the fowl, the whales, and the phrase, every living creature. That is in the fifth day. Then comes the sixth day, more creatures, quote, after his kind, then the cattle, and the creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind, and every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind. Then comes the verses where God said, let us make man in our image, and I want to impress this upon your mind as we finish today's broadcast, that God created male and female, apparently both at the same time in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. It does not give a story of the man being created first and then the female later. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. That is plural, verse 28. And God blessed them. And then there's one additional thing I want to point out before we close, that he told them to go, be fruitful, and multiply and replenish the earth. Apparently, these creatures, these men and women, were told to fill the earth. Now, tomorrow, we'll go on into the seventh day of rest, and then go on into the creation of Adam and Eve, who are not told to fill the earth, but are given a specific location called the Garden of Eden. And I believe as you listen to these verses in Genesis 2, you will recognize that Genesis 2, the story of Adam and Eve, is not a repetition of the story of the creation of man, male, and female in Genesis 1. Adam is a different race of man than those created in Genesis 1. And I believe that you'll see this clearer as we go on. Thank you. Psalm 33, starting in verse 6 through verse 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. for his faith, and it was done, he commanded, and it stood fast. Yes, brother, sister, God's power is shown, is demonstrated in his creation. And that is another reason why I believe as you study his creation, you will see the glory and the majesty of the Lord. All right, yesterday we finished reading the first 6 days of creation, the things that God had created upon the earth in 6 days. Now, I'll repeat again, I'm not going to argue with the philologists and the geologists who tell me, and they are right, that the word translated day can also be translated eon or age. But for our purposes, in this Bible study, to show you that the creation of Genesis 2 of Adam is not the same creation as Genesis 1, I would just remind you that there is a certain order of creation given in Genesis 1, and they are separated by the Hebrew word which means day or eon. So they do come to pass in a period, perhaps even an unknown period of time, starting with the Spirit of God and his word, and then light, water and dry land, grass, the lights in the heaven, the small creatures, the larger ones, and culminating in the sixth day with man in our image, male and female, and they are given the order to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion, and then all of the things that were created previously are listed that these men and women would have dominion over. All right, let's begin in chapter 2 of Genesis. And remember as we read this, that in the original text, documents, or manuscripts, there were no chapter and verse headings. So the original writings would have started out in the beginning and read right on, sentence after sentence after sentence. So sometimes these divisions are unfortunate because people think, well, that was in the original writing. No, it is not. Anyway, at the end of verse 31 of chapter 1, which says, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day, then the text goes right on. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So apparently there is an ending of creation. And then it is followed by a day, an age or an eon if you prefer, when nothing further was created but God rested. Then the writer of the Holy Writ goes right on, and this has a paragraph heading indication in most Bibles. Verse 4 of Genesis 2. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. Now this apparently is a collective noun, not meaning any one day, but again referring to this period of time of creation when God made the heavens and the earth. And I'm not intending to start an argument by pointing out to you that in that verse 4 of Genesis 2, only one day is mentioned. But I believe that is a collective noun, meaning the period of time which had been in the creation as we have just read it through Genesis 1 and into Genesis 2. The letter goes on, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And then here's that strange verse of Scripture. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is the verse of the creation of Adam. Now, we have in Genesis 1 a period of 6 days in which specific and definite things are listed as having been created. Day 1, day 2, by day 3 we have herbs and trees. By day 4 we have the lights, and day 5 we have creatures. Day 6 includes other creatures culminating in the last creation, man, men and women, male and female. Now, most fundamentalists teach and preach that chapter 2 of Genesis is nothing more than a recap of the creation of these males and females of verse 28 of Genesis 1, but that it is given in a little more detail. And of course, the tragedy of this teaching is that the Antichrist and the atheists come along, and I have read their writing. Your college-age children have, because they print up books and distribute them by the millions on college campuses, in which they poke fun at the Christian teachers and say, well, God didn't even remember the order of his own creation. Why, look at Genesis 1, he created things in this certain order, and then in Genesis 2, he forgot he had told you about that, and then he gives another creation, and he tells you in an entirely different order, and if God doesn't know the order in which he created things, then he's no God, and we shouldn't believe him. And many, many people, reading books and articles by the thousands, printed by the millions of copies, making fun and ridiculing the fundamentalist interpretation of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, have succeeded in turning away hundreds of thousands, yea, perhaps millions, of American boys and girls from the Bible on the grounds that, well, if you can't believe creation, you certainly can't believe anything else written in the Word of God. And I have run across, and you have too, many people who claim they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they believe the story of creation is just a parable, that it obviously can't be true, and therefore it's just told there to give us some idea that we should study and learn from it something, but they don't know quite what. All right, the main problem, and I cannot emphasize this enough, the main problem is the error taught by the preachers. After all, brother, sister, how can we blame the lay people? How can we blame the young people? How can we even blame the scientists when they find things which they believe are contrary to the teaching of the Bible? When the teaching of the Bible has been given by God to the preachers, and the preachers don't preach it right. Now you listen and follow and read with me as we read the story of Adam and Eve. And I'll show you the difference in the order of creation as we go along, and you'll see why, as ministers attempt to insist that this is the same men and women and the same people, the same creation of Genesis 1, why there is so much confusion. All right, verse 7 of chapter 2, we find that God formed this man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now notice, back in Genesis 1, after creating both male and female, he apparently gives them all of the earth and tells them to go out in the earth. Now here, we find him creating one man and placing him in what must be a rather limited geographical location called here a garden eastward in Eden. And God puts him there. Verse 9 of chapter 2, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, here the atheists come along and make fools of our fundamentalists by saying, look, in chapter 1, the trees were created first, then man was created. In chapter 2, we find that man was created, and then God formed the trees. All right, let's read on. Verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, there is Bilium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. In other words, God apparently, for some purpose which escapes the fundamentalists, tells us that these first people in Genesis 1 were given dominion over the whole earth, but Adam is given dominion at this point over a place called the Garden of Eden, and God gives us geographical location so we can find that location. Now, I'm not going to spend time telling you where the Garden of Eden is. We made a Bible study of this about 2 years ago, and Lord willing, someday we'll have the time and the money to put this in print as a book on the location of the Garden of Eden, because we have figured it out from the Bible and from the evidence of science, which fits in exactly with the description given here in Genesis 2 and also in other parts of the historical scriptures. But anyway, verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now notice, at this point, trees have been created after man, and there is yet no beast or no female, no woman. And I think we shall stop there for today, because you can see in just a few verses, approximately one half of chapter 2 of Genesis, that this creation story is very, very different from the creation story of Genesis 1. And it is almost unbelievable that ministers of the gospel and writers of religious books insist year after year after year that the creation of Adam is identical with the creation of the men and women in Genesis 1. Such cannot be the case unless you deny the plain teaching of Scripture or make God a fool. And, of course, that is what the atheists do. They grasp this error of fundamentalism and use it as a weapon against our children to get our children to laugh at our religion, at our Bible, and at our God. And instead of the fundamentalists and the Bible teachers correcting their error and realizing that these are not the same creation and teaching our people the truth of the Bible, they go on in their blindness and their ignorance, causing many young people to turn away from the Bible because of the obvious foolish teaching about creation. All right, this is Pastor Sheldon Emery. We'll continue tomorrow, and as we close this, of course, we will demonstrate, as you perhaps can already see, that Adam and the Adamic people are a different race than those created in Genesis 1. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.